Welcome, audio listeners. My name is Tanner Mitchell with theintrovertsvoice.com. In this podcast series, we will highlight introverts in business. We'll learn their stories, their successes, and their struggles. The goal here is to help other introverts in business or who are thinking about going into business and give ideas on how to use their personality to their advantage. So with that, let's get started. All right, I'm super excited to have Bridget Coughlin here today. She is a hypnotist. Bridget, can you tell me a little bit about your profession? Because it is something that I think has a lot of mystery around it. Some people don't really understand it, and it's a type of thing that, you know, you see it like the fair or at some like attraction type thing. And
the
you
fair?
See it.
I don't think I've ever seen a hypnotist at the fair.
Oh,
okay.
That's the only place I've ever seen him is at a fair. Well,
okay.
And
right.
Our one session. So, but that's the only place that I've ever seen it. And you know, it's like this big show type of thing, you know, with a bunch of people.
Oh,
but I think that's a misrepresentation of what it really, really is, and especially of what you do. So if you could explain to everybody more about what it is so that we can understand it better.
Sure. So just to be clear and fair, there, what you were describing before is called stage hypnotism, which is an absolute art form, in my opinion. I don't know how to do stage hypnotism. I think it's very cool. It uses the same premise, but it's for entertainment, obviously. It's, you know, and, you know, I think everyone knows that those changes, those suggestions that are given in a stage setting are not ones that are lasting. And many reasons for that, but first and foremost, people who typically come to me who's considered, and this is a very, very loose term, but more of a therapeutic hypnotist. And I say that because I am not a therapist. I don't have my doctorate. What I do have is extensive knowledge and understanding of having, the ability to put people into hypnosis. So when people come to me, they're looking to create some sort of change in their life. And that can be a behavioral change, that can be kind of getting to the root of an emotional issue that they know is there, but they really can't identify for whatever reason. And a lot of times I work with people who are currently in therapy. Again, I'm just looking at kind of the behavior behind things. I'm not gonna dive deep into reasons why. Just more about this is what I want to do. This is what I'm doing. How do I help them bridge that gap? So, so when you go to a stage hypnotist, they're going to, you know, do things that are, are not things that you're coming to change in your life. So clucking like a chicken isn't something that you want to do for the rest of your life. So, you know, there's a function in our brain that, can allow that behavior to happen just for fun, because it is fun to have everyone laugh and enjoy that experience. But you know that long-term behavior is not going to be beneficial for you. And your brain knows that on a very deep level. And therefore, that behavior kind of disappears. So every time, I think sometimes they match it with, with a ringing bell, and then you start clucking like a chicken. Going forward, you can hear a ringing bell without having that behavior. So that's kind of the difference. You come to me because you want something to be different. Therefore, the changes that we do in my office are typically very lasting. Again, because that motivation is for that individual to have a different experience going forward.
I really like that distinction that you give between the clucking chicken and lasting change, because that's totally what it is. I never really thought of it, and I'm glad that you gave us this description, because coming into it, I think a lot of people see a hypnotist as sort of, like you said, a show. And there is much a really big difference between what you're doing, which is more therapeutic, and what they're doing, which is purely for entertainment.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. So we have a really, really great distinction. I'm curious, before we get started, how did you get into this? Because it's not not very traditional, right?
Sure, absolutely. So I was kind of in a stage of my life. I had three boys very close together. So, I think they were both, all three pregnancies were 18 months apart. So my body went through a lot during that time. And after I had my third baby, I just couldn't lose the weight, or I couldn't identify with what was not working for me. So like many, many people, hypnosis was kind of the last ditch effort. And I'm like, I've seen this on 60 Minutes or whatever it was at the time. Maybe it'll work for me. So I went to two or three sessions, and it was like magic. It was so easy. And it just convinced me that, we have such a powerful tool between our ears that we ear I'm going to speak for myself. I don't typically use as much or as often as I should. And just based on that experience, I fell in love with the concept and just thought there are so many different ways you could use this. And I knew that there are so many different ways you could use this. But then it took me a few years to actually become a hypnotist. And I've been a practicing hypnotist for the past 4 years now.
Okay, that's awesome. And I like where you said, talking about the tool between our ears that we don't use so often. I know for me, so for those of you who don't know, which is pretty much all of you, Bridget and I have had a session before. We did a hypnosis session, is that what you call it?
That's right.
Okay. And for me, I think a lot of us get on this track of almost on autopilot. Like most of what we do throughout the day, it's very much an autopilot where you're talking in brain function and whatnot with that. With hypnosis, it seems to me like you're still going to be on autopilot, but you are choosing what's on autopilot instead of just taking the information around you and adapting to it, and like that's your new autopilot. This is like going into your head and resetting your autopilot to something that's better for you, or like, more efficient or like helpful.
That's a great description. I agree. I think that that's a very good description.
Okay, awesome. Okay, so I want to know a little bit more about your upbringing. I know, as you're a kid, you don't think about yourself being an introvert or whatever. There's not really a label on it. You have things that you like to do and you have things that you don't, more comfortable in situations and less in others, that type of thing. I want to know what that looked like growing up for you. Like, what were your experiences, hindsight now, with being an introvert, and how did that kind of play into your upbringing?
So, I guess we had this discussion too. It's funny. I guess I never even thought of either label extrovert or introvert, but introvert is kind of a new thought for me, but it makes sense. So, I am a person or have been a person that has always enjoyed a kind of conversation. I love talking to people. I'm not a person, however, that loves to be at, I don't know, huge crowds or big events. I mean, they're fun, but that's not my kind of, ultimate fun time. I think we talked about this a little bit before, but I did participate in the theater, and I'm a singer, so I did a lot of things that I guess would be kind of putting myself in the spotlight, which typically I don't think as an introvert behavior, but at the same time, I did those things because I enjoyed them, and it was kind of a release of my creativity. But I'm again, and I hope this, I don't know what this sounds like, but I'm not a person that really enjoyed, I don't know, being in anyone's face about anything, or I don't like when people approach me that way. So that's, I guess I'm kind of going around the bend here to answer the question, but that's kind of my upbringing was that, we were always in positions where we could do whatever we wanted to do. But again, those are the things that I enjoyed. Am I answering your question correctly? I'm feeling
You're
kind of
totally answering your question. I
okay.
think it's important for people to be able to relate, because I think sometimes when we hear of when we're trying to learn from someone who or just learn from someone in general, we want to be able to put ourselves in their shoes. And I know for myself, sometimes when I hear someone, they'll be super successful and they're up on the stage or, in this big production, and they're like, "Yeah, I'm an introvert," and da 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 da. I like gauge them on an introvert level. I'm like, "Well, you're not as much as an introvert as me. I could never do that type of thing." So, yeah, I think it's great for people to be able to connect with you on that level of, introvert tendencies. We're all going to have, more severe tendencies in some areas and less severe in others. Some people, some introverts, recognize that they like to sing or perform or whatever because most introverts are very creative and they like that, but maybe they wouldn't put themselves out there like you would. So that's a good lesson to be learned right there. You have to be able to get over those things and kind of sort of put yourself out there because you have those creative things that you need to show the world. You need to share your talents. I think that's a really good lesson to be learned. So you said you've been practicing hypnosis for 4 years, correct?
Correct.
What are some challenges, or at least one challenge that you've come up with as an introvert? Whatever that looks like, just something that has made being a business owner a challenge that has to do with being an introvert.
Sure. And so maybe I can be a little more vulnerable in my description, but it's so in order to start a business like this, you got to have some sort of chutzpah, I would say, because not a lot of people want to be a hypnotist. So I get that. But and I've always kind of put myself in situations where what I liked isn't what the mass populace typically liked or thought of, was conventional. So, I mean, not everything, but I have interests like that. So hypnosis is so special to me and such an incredible tool, and I just love it so much that I have found myself struggling to describe it in a way that not only gives it credibility, but gives it a sense of normalcy. And I think there are moments where I feel like, oh, I don't want to sound like a weirdo. Like I don't want people to think that I'm going to make them cluck like a chicken or think that that's a cool thing to me. I want to be a good representative of, my industry and this group of people that I know, hypnotists, that do such incredible work. And it is a strange group of people, but at the same time, it's really incredible. And I just want to be able to communicate it in a way that, number one, people feel comfortable, utilizing it as something that can be helpful to them. And second, that they think that that's something that is, completely normal and mainstream and, not anything they need to be ashamed about, So I'll see people that, I've had to kind of go out there and network. So I'll go to, just different organizations throughout the area just to kind of talk about what my business is. And sometimes it's met with, kind of like, oh my God, what is she doing? But a lot of times, to my surprise, I have to push through and just stand, do the little 5 second or 30 second commercial of what you do at those Chamber of Commerce meetings. And I'll stand up and, kind of give my spiel, and I'm just sweating and I feel red and I feel like, oh my God, I'm talking about how performance anxiety can be cured with. I'm sitting here shaking because I have so much, like I feel so personally attached to it. And then I kind of center myself and I get past it. But those have, I mean, it's been challenging to talk about it in a kind of a normal way, if you will.
Do you think that the performance type hypnosis sort of damages your profession in that way? Because I think, well, I'm just imagining that when you're going up to these people, that's the first thing that they're taking, and then you have to spend all this time convincing them that you're not going to make them cluck like a chicken. I feel like that should be like your tagline, like Bridget Coughlin hypnosis. No, I won't make you cluck like a chicken.
That would be good. Actually, I might steal that. That sounds good. Yeah, that's true.
Do you think that those sort of things sort of damage or like put you in a step back from the progression of your business or your industry?
Wait, ask the question again.
Do
What
you
do you mean?
yeah, so the sort of performance type cluck like a chicken,
Oh, like a stage hypnotist. Do those people take away from what I'm
yeah,
doing?
because I think that they are
Okay.
so like people see them so, I mean, in my experience, I know that people see them so much more often because they're like, it's a show type thing. There's like advertising for it and it's funny and it's whatever, but it kind of damages your industry, I think, because that's then people don't take it seriously as a real value to,
I don't know. I mean, I think maybe if you would have asked me a year ago, like when I first started, or a year ago, 4 years ago, when I started this, like kind of a year into it, I was very self, like kind of cognizant and cautious and like kind of wanted to make that separation. Now it's not so much. You know, I think what people do is stage hypnotists are really, really talented. And they're just doing it for a different purpose. They're doing it for entertainment value. I mean, think of all the crazy things we do for entertainment. That's probably the most benign at the end of the day. I mean, and then there are some, you know, really wonderful stage hypnotists who've kind of, you know, put that into a different context. So now they're, you know, doing business strategy and business performance-based hypnosis, you know, on a stage scale, because sometimes that kind of stuff translates much better than coming into my office, you know, doing a one-on-one. Now that I think one-on-one always intensifies and is always much more targeted than you can do on a stage. But stage hypnosis is pretty cool. I kind of have made that transition, I guess.
That's actually a really good point because my only previous to you, my only experience with hypnosis was the stage hypnosis. And even though I thought it was silly, it gets you thinking. Like, if your brain is able to do that from this person, what else could you change? So I guess it does give it at least a little bit of legitimacy, even if it's not for the same purpose.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So I heard very recently in a few different like really reputable sources that meditation over the next like 10 years they feel is going to be like what like gyms are right now, that there are going to be very like a lot of meditation centers slash yoga centers for kind of recentering yourself. And I think it's interesting the correlation between meditation and hypnosis. What do you, how, what similarities do you find between those two?
You know what? I find a lot of similarities between them. I'm a meditator. I've fallen out of the practice, you know, off and on over the years. But yeah, I practice TM, and I still do hypnosis. I do self-hypnosis as well. I
What
think,
is TM?
oh, TM, at Transcendental Meditation.
Oh, okay.
Again, another weird thing that I do, but I don't talk about it. I just do it. So it's, I think there are so many similarities. I think, and I always tell my clients, you're going to walk out of here with an understanding of how to create this self-hypnotic state, because all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. I'm guiding you through that process. I'm getting you to that place where the, you know, the subconscious mind is at the forefront. But you can, anyone can do that. Anyone can, after, you know, with practice, get themselves in that state easily. And I so agree that, I mean, I know we just had one session together, but it's, you're in a different frame of mind after you've gone through a hypnosis session, very, very similar to when you finish a meditation session. I'm not sure if, how familiar you are with meditation or if you do it, but
Yeah,
that's my
totally.
experience.
You know what I will say about our one, I mean, you said it was just one, but one seemed to be a really big deal to me. I was so willing to, you know, for it, and I was all in for it and focused and whatever. And we specifically tied it to rock climbing. We were talking about rock climbing through the thing, but I have used it in so many other situations. And even today, I don't know what you call it, a trigger, or what do you call it when, you know, like we
Oh, your
recalled.
anchor?
Anchor. Okay, yeah. So whenever I do that, still, I still do it in certain situations where I need that. And I every time that I do it, even if I do it back to back, I will get like the chills and like this wave of like calm over my body. Is
Awesome.
that typical?
Absolutely. So an anchor is kind of where we're connecting a physical sensation to an emotional feeling. So you know, for example, this is totally different but same thing. You know, we might create a sensation within hypnosis again because we're using the power of your mind. We're using that imagine that part of your mind that's so powerful called imagination. You know, we sometimes forget about that part. So let's say I just worked with a woman last week who's working on weight loss. So just creating that sensation of being full. We all know cognitively what it feels like to to be full, but then to utilize the imagination to kind of compound that feeling, to really have that physical sensation sitting in my chair in the office at, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I feel really full, this feeling of full, and, describing that sensation. And then just easily, I'll just ask her, just as you create that sensation of full, just bring your thumb and your finger together and just notice how all of that feeling of full goes to that thumb and finger. Mm-hmm. And any time that you want to create that sensation called full, just bringing that thumb and finger together, it just reignites that feeling called full. And I'm giving away trade secrets or whatever, but it's that simple. I mean, and the more you do it, the more you create that connection, the stronger it becomes. So I am completely not surprised that what you're doing right now has probably gotten even stronger since we first worked together.
Yeah, well, I know it hasn't gone backwards at all. If anything, yeah, it's probably gotten stronger. That's really, really cool. So you mentioned weight loss, which is something that I wanted to talk about, not weight loss specifically, but I wanted to talk about applications for hypnosis. I'm just thinking there's probably infinite ones, but what are the main few that you have in your office?
Sure. So the top two are stop smoking and weight loss. I love working with smokers that want to be non-smokers. Mm-hmm. I know this is not a video, but I have a little stack of cigarettes in the, the corner. Because the way, like I was mentioning earlier, the way things work best, when people can really, really achieve the experience or the change that they want, they have to come into my office with that idea in mind, like, I am committed to this change. Now, I get it. Like, we all talk about, willpower and all that kind of stuff. Hypnosis transcends willpower. You just create the sense in your mind that that's what you're doing. That's who you are. Those things just don't apply to you anymore. So with that in mind, stop smoking, weight loss, and performance anxiety are the biggest ones. And performance anxiety is cool because you can use it in all sorts of different categories. So I had a few different clients, and I know there are a lot of people out there that have this issue who are afraid to drive on highways. So that's a segment of performance anxiety. You have this feeling that you're overwhelmed by the experience of having to do this certain thing. It is like life transforming. It's amazing. I mean, just working with these women a couple times and this one gentleman a couple times, it's so cool. I mean, the way they approach life is different. I mean, I had this one gentleman who didn't take a job because he had to, he would have to be crossing bridges, and he was really terrified of crossing bridges in a car. And it's just, you don't think about those things, but it changes your life when you can, have that access. So
totally.
Those are the kind of top three things that I work with.
So this brings up another little question, because I know several people who are scared to drive on the highway, even as adults. And so I know your physical office is in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Is hypnosis something that you can do over the phone or over the internet?
Good question. Yeah, of course. Yes. I do a lot. That part of my business is really picking up, which I'm really excited about. And I'm, yes, the short answer is yes. Now that we'll have to do a little work on getting you ready for hypnosis over, doing either FaceTime or like we're doing on Facebook right now. But it's so effective. Just think of all the things that you're just listening to every day and how that has a hypnotic effect on you. Same thing, except we're giving that focus, like a personalized focus of what you want.
So true. There are so many things just in our external environment that influence us. I read a study recently that I think it was from a very reputable school. I want to say it was Harvard did a study about how your brain actually processes things that you can't physically hear. Like, you don't hear them in a decibel sense, but
okay,
you
yeah.
take them into your brain anyway. So the example that they gave was maybe you're at the grocery store and a couple aisles over, there's some girl, some daughter or something, some kid wanting to buy something, and the mom says, "No, I can't af we can't afford it," type thing. Even if you don't like audibly hear it, like your brain is taking it in anyway. Isn't that wild?
I think that is kind of wild. Like you can't, it's like not within earshot, but
Yeah.
you're just kind of absorbing it.
I
That's
don't
interesting.
remember like the details of it, but I remember that specific situation and how incredible it was. And it's just another nod toward how powerful our brains are. So this is great. If you're practicing hypnosis, this is a great way to recenter that because you're choosing what's going in your mind instead of just letting things happen to you.
Absolutely,
Yeah.
absolutely.
So earlier we talked about challenges as being an introvert in business, and I want to know how being an introvert in business has helped you. What introvert tendencies do you have that have been really great for your business?
Well, let me just start by saying I just realized a challenge that I'm having right now as an introvert. It's challenging for me to talk so much. I like to listen to people.
True.
Isn't that weird? Yeah. So, of
N
course,
not
that's what
really.
I'm
Hey,
doing.
that's something that is com that is that is almost like across the board with all introverts, is that either they like to have the one-on-one kind of conversations that are meaningful, or and they're really good listeners. I say everybody should have an introvert friend, if for nothing else, then they are really good listeners.
I agree. I have some good introvert friends, it seems. I'm sorry, one more time. So, things that have helped me at being an introvert. I think we talked about this before. I'm going to be so bold as to say I come across as an authentic person. I think more so
You do.
sometimes
Yeah.
because I really strive for that. That's not just about being an introvert. It's important to me to be authentic. And I clearly am not authentic, or like might not be perceived authentic 100% of the time, but that's my goal because I care about what people are wanting and how they want their life to be different. And anyway, that I think that helps.
Totally helps. And you said it's not an introvert thing, but we did talk about this a little bit, and it's something that I notice with a lot of my clients and a lot of people that I talk to that are introverts. Authenticity is a very important thing to them, and that's sometimes why introverts have trouble with small talk, is because the authenticity factor isn't there. It's just willy-nilly, I'm doing this because it's socially accepted or polite. To, hey, how's the weather, kind of thing. But in their mind, it's just you kind of glaze over because it's not authentic. It's you always have to wonder, do they really care about my day or whatever, because it's just small
Although
talk.
I do have to say that I am always in awe of people. I have several that I can think of that are even family members that are so good at that. They're so, and it's, I guess I should edit my last statement. When I make chit chat and don't, I'm being less than authentic, I don't always get that from other people. I mean, there are some people who are just so skillful about engaging in lots of different conversations at high energy and can still be listening and engaged. And I'm in awe of that. I think sometimes I get distracted or whatever it is. I'm just not good at that little piece, but.
I love observing that too because my wife is an extrovert and she's really good at it. And that's really what it is. I'm just in awe of her sometimes. I'm just sitting there and watching, like, this is incredible type of thing. While I'm like completely, I don't care because, I disengage pretty quickly when I can, when I sense like the lack of authenticity. But she is really, really good at it. So the next thing that I want to talk about is advice. Advice for introverts that you might have. Everyone has their own unique perspectives and their own journeys where all of that is concerned. So, if you had, there's an introvert listening to this right now and they have some great ideas, they have some aspirations, but they haven't stepped out and done it. Apart from coming to you and being hypnotized into doing it,
Exactly.
what advice would you give them?
Gosh, I mean, let's just go with the context of they have maybe they feel like they can't or they don't. It's scary to them on whatever level. I think knowing that Everyone is scared. Everyone has a place that they're afraid to go past, is comforting in a way, because it doesn't mean you have to always live on the edge of that feeling of being uncomfortable. But knowing that you're sharing that experience, even with people who are being, you're like, oh my God, I could never do that thing that that person is doing. Know that those people are also struggling with their own kind of barriers to their success. I think that that's, I think we, maybe as an introvert, we get too self, that we criticize too much, ourselves too much, or maybe just think that we're isolated or alone in our thought process. But knowing that there are so many people who have, it challenges to get to the next stage. So just be okay with what you bring to the party. I mean, there's got to be di diversity. Everyone can't be doing the same thing.
You highlighted something that I think is important, is that introverts seem to be a little bit harder on themselves, self-criticizing maybe more than others might. And I think that's due to thinking a lot, being in your head a lot when you have your alone time, and you almost think your way out of situations. It can be like a really great, like superpower type of thing to be in your head a lot. But if you're in there too much without taking any action, then you can just go backwards and you're like your own worst
Absolutely.
enemy.
No, that's good. That's a really excellent point. Excellent thought.
I want to end on something that people can take home and do in their daily life. And when I was scrolling through your Facebook page at Bridget Coughlin Family Hypnosis, tapping therapy, I think it was what it was called.
EFT.
What's it called?
EFT.
EFT. What does that stand for?
Oh my gosh, you're going to ask me. I can't remember. If you looked up tapping, it would be the same thing, but EFT. But it's basically the, did you want me to explain what it is?
I want to explain what it is because I watched a little bit of the video. I didn't look anything up about it specifically because I wanted you to be able to explain it to us. But to me, it looked like something because the video that I watched, the kids were doing it in a classroom. It seemed like something
Emotional freedom technique, by the way.
emotional freedom technique. Okay, well, hey, everyone needs some emotional freedom, right? So I'm surprised that tapping wasn't in the acronym. I figured tapping would be the T. Okay, so explain to us sort of what it is and maybe a resource that we could go and look at to apply that to our life because you put it on your page because it has value, I'm sure.
Absolutely, and I use it all the time in my with my clients. I use it so much I don't remember what it stands for. Just kidding. So it was developed based on different acupressure points. So if you go to get acupuncture or acupressure, they'll put needles obviously in these different energy centers of your body. So this is just creating kind of stimulating those energy points just by tapping on them. So using your two, like your index finger and your middle finger, bring those two together. And there are different various points. There are oodles of videos on YouTube and that article that I posted on my website that kind of give you a sense of kind of the map of how you do that. But it's typically on top of your head, side of your eye, under your nose, under your mouth, collarbone, under your arm. And then there's a karate chop point, which is you start with, which is at the top of, or the kind of the fleshy part of the side of your hand. And what it does is really gives you a moment to calm your mind. So you're bringing to the forefront whatever it is, whatever challenge you're having, like smokers, let's say, I'm really scared because I want to stop smoking, but I'm not sure if I can. So we start with that phrase, and then we end with, but I totally accept and love myself. So at the end of the day, no matter what you do, no matter what your decision is in this behavioral change, I totally accept and love myself, which I've done this before with my kids, and they always reference Stuart Smiley from Saturday Night Live. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but
I
when
don't
he's,
know that, but I
I
can
love
imagine.
myself, I think I'm great, looking in the mirror. Anyway, but it's so amazing. So what we'll do at the, in a session is, we'll start, let's say we're going to do a stop smoking client. And I'll say, on a scale from 1 to 10, 10, 0, or 1 being the least, 10 being the most, where are you in feeling like you want to be a non-smoker? So they might say like a, you know, two or a three. Like, I don't want to be a non-smoker. Okay, great. So are you committed to being a 10? Yes, I am. Okay, great. So let's go through this experience and just, you know, we go through that whole process and then we'll bring them up to that motivation level of a 10. Now, we can work conversely as well and say, do you know, on a scale from 1 to 10, where do you, how much anxiety do you feel about this change that we're going to create together? And again, the goal is always to bring it down to a zero in that context. So we don't want them to have any sort of anxiety about getting in the car and driving over a bridge, and we want them to have all the motivation in the world to be a non-smoker. So that's kind of how we use it. And it's really cool because you use it at the beginning and you use it at the end, and they see the difference. They experience the difference. And it's kind of magical.
So what I hear you saying is that there you have a starting thought in your head and you want to change it, and the tapping is almost like it's a method to specific like be really focused on a different thought.
Not necessarily. It's more about eliciting a feeling.
Okay.
So, even though you're trying to be honest with your thoughts. So if you're having anxiety about, you know, I'm feeling really anxious about getting in my car to go to, you know, to drive today. But I completely love and accept myself. Now that phrase will change during the course of EFT. So by the time you get to the last tapping point, you might say, I was feeling anxious about this, but I know I'll be okay, and I completely love and accept myself.
Okay, so you're not just repeating the same things over and over again. You are very concentrated on how you're feeling as you do. Are there like multiple rounds of the tapping?
Yes, you can,
Okay,
exactly. You can take that into several, I'm sorry, I didn't describe that well. You take it to as many rounds as you need or want. It's really, really good for stop smoking
and you're
because
concent
in those moments where you're freaking out when you need a cigarette, you can do
Okay.
that.
Okay, so this is making a lot more sense. This could be really cool. So you're focusing on how you're feeling while doing this tapping technique until you get to a more acceptable or a more like where you want to be. Okay,
Exactly.
wow, okay. So that is called emotional freedom technique.
Technique.
Emotional freedom technique. What a perfect acronym for it. Everybody needs that, right?
I think so.
These are
I
the
think
type of
so.
things that need to be more mainstream. Are you with me?
I am. I'm
Okay,
right there
cool.
with you.
Well, Bridget, I am super, super grateful that you came on the show today and delivered so much value for our listeners. I think if we were all, like you said, using that thing between our ears a little bit more often or a little bit more intentionally, I might say, that we could all sort of be in a better place.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This is great. I'm really thrilled.
Absolutely. And again, this is Bridget Coughlin. You can find her at Bridget Coughlin hypnosis.com, or you can find her Facebook page at Bridget Coughlin Family Hypnosis. Coughlin is spelled Coughlin. And again, this is not something that you can only do in person. You can do it over video chat type thing as well. So reach out to Bridget and set up an appointment and see what she can do for you. I personally have a great testimony with it. The one session that we had, I use probably weekly in many different
Oh,
situations,
great.
so I love it.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bridget.